I'm Nigel Farage.
And I'm very pleased to be on Bromley Radio.
Bromley Today with Mick Smith.
And there you are. A very good evening. Welcome along to Bromley Today for Tuesday, the 21st of November. And it will be a bit of a truncated edition, as I'm having to attend an AGM. Or MYOB. All right, in the broadcast today, we will have an interview with Brown Car Guy. Yes, that's right. Him of the famous YouTube channel, who's now lent his weight and his voice as a motoring correspondent to ULEZ. The anti-ULEZ campaign. We caught up with him there on Saturday there at the Bromley Citizens ULEZ Summit there at the Orpington Conservative Club. So we've got that to look forward to very soon. Plus, what connects the music you're about to hear, at least the next three songs you're going to hear, what connects them? We'll also be bringing you what to do, where to go, if we can find anything. I mean, there's plenty of stuff for next month in December, but we're looking for things to do now. And if you wish to let us know what you've got coming up now, then get in touch with us, bromleyradio@gmail.com.
I'm a native boy.
He's a native boy.
I'm a native boy.
He's a native boy.
at gmail.com or Twitter, I mean X, at Bromley Radio 1.
So we had Animal Nightlife there and Native Boy, and now we got the Average White Band, and let's go round again while we sort ourselves out as we prepare ourselves for an interview with Brown Car Guy.
Sometimes I don't see the better side of the feeling. Bromley Radio, ULEZ Update.
My name is Shazad Sheikh, but I'm known as the Brown Car Guy.
Yes, so go looking on YouTube and you will find his very own channel there, the Brown Car Guy.
You can find me on YouTube, you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, TikTok, browncarguy.com. I'm everywhere. It's not possible not to find me.
Indeed, exactly. And your heritage is, shall we say?
I'm British Asian.
British Asian?
Yeah, okay. I'm a Londoner. I was born in London back in 1968.
Yeah, more years than you care to
remember.
It was
my birthday a couple of days ago, actually.
Excellent. Well done.
I've actually spent sort of half my career here and half in the Middle East. So I spent a good amount of time growing up in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah. And most recently, from 2006 to 2018, I was out in the UAE.
Wow.
Throughout my career, I've been a motoring journalist. So that's actually what I do. I'm actually a motoring journalist, a freelancer, and I create content around the Brown Car Guy brand.
So did you do that around, like, in the Middle East?
My claim to fame is that I'm Saudi Arabia's first motoring journalist. Back in 1989. That's when I started. So next year, it'll be my 35th year doing this. Yes. So yeah, basically, I've always done that. So I started writing for a newspaper. There's two national newspapers in English in Saudi Arabia. And I started writing for the Saudi Gazette. Did a weekly motoring column for them and then moved over to Arab News. Did that for about 2 years, 2.5 years. And so now I say that I'm Saudi Arabia's first motoring journalist.
The only motoring journalist I know of, not met him, Mike Rutherford.
Yes, he's a friend of mine.
There you go.
He's a fantastic guy. Yeah. And in fact, in this context, it's great that you brought him up, because I think that one of the things that when we're talking about ULEZ, which is, of course, the ultra low emission zone, one of the things I've been very disappointed about is how there haven't been enough of the motoring media actually talking about this and reporting it and covering it. But Mike Rutherford is one of the guys that extensively talked about it right at the beginning.
Yes.
So big up, Mike.
Yes, and I believe, were you there in Cuddam, which is where Nigel Farage did his GB News show from, on the 29th of August?
No, I wasn't there, no.
I think Mike Rutherford was.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
But the reason that Nigel Farage's show was from there, that's because he lived and grew up in that area.
Right.
So, and obviously Bromley Radio is obviously a resident of Bromley, so therefore there we was as well.
Yeah, excellent.
He very kindly gave us a few words. But obviously as we've gone down, and you're a long way, and I'm just saying in London, you're a long way, northwest London, aren't you?
You know, it's very interesting that you say that, and I think it's also very pertinent and very relevant, because one of the things around this whole ULEZ thing, and I find this particularly with an audience that doesn't know London very well. London is one of the biggest cities in the world. It's 600 square miles. It's massive. You know, it's a country within a country, basically. That's what it is. And so often when I put up ULEZ content, and then people are like, oh, well, you're in London, you don't need a vehicle, you know. And I'm like, yes. I grew up in central London. I grew up in Islington. Yes, I understand that. I know you can be anywhere within 20 minutes on public transport. No problem at all. But there are layers to London. It literally is like an onion, isn't it?
You can peel off layers.
And the further out you get, the more rural it gets, the more agricultural. Like, there are farms in this area where we are now, which bizarrely now falls under ULEZ. Totally bonkers. Mm. And I think that that's why I said it's very interesting that you've mentioned that, because yes, it feels like I'm on the other side of the world today, because I'm in northwest London.
Yeah.
So I've had to come pretty much half the way around the M25.
Diagonally across. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Indeed. And it's going to be quite a long trip back to
northwest London. Yes, I'm not looking forward to it.
You actually, I've observed from your videos that you've posted on your YouTube channel, shall we say the residences there, quite similar. Oh, it's quite leafy and.
I'm 5 minutes from Harrow. I mean, in less than 10 minutes, I can be in L Street.
Yeah.
You know, and Aldenham Country Park.
Yeah.
You know, it's all green. I mean, like within minutes, even where I am. So I'm just on the other side of the North Circular. So I am in Kingsbury. And next to us is Hendon.
Yes.
If you go into Hendon, you see a place called Welsh Harp. It's a massive lake. So my son does a bit of drone shot stuff, and he brought back a drone shot the other day, and I was like, this is London?
Yeah.
Because when you look at the footage, you go, this isn't London. It can't be. I mean, you know, where's the density of infrastructure? Where's the density of buildings? There isn't.
Yeah.
And I think this is the misunderstanding about the ULEZ expansion as such.
Yeah.
Not the previous ULEZ, but the current expansion, and why there's been so much angst and passion, and basically why it's caused so much hardship, because people don't understand that outer London is a completely different animal to inner London.
Absolutely. And as a former London taxi cab driver, I still do, 34 years.
Wow.
I've seen lots of changes
in
London. And of course, here you were saying about London being a massive city. Well, you're currently in London's biggest borough out of the 32 boroughs. And so it stretches, if you like, from Crystal Palace up in the northwest all the way down to Biggin Hill.
Amazing.
And the M25.
That's
a lot of it. And then over here at Orpington, you know, width-wise. So it would take quite a while to drive from, say, Orpington here up to Crystal Palace.
That's right,
So it is massive. And so, yeah, Bromley Radio is about bringing Bromley together, you know, because it is made up of lots of places. And even in central London in the early 1900s, even from central London, an hour in any direction, and you'd be out in the middle of fields.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, but that's progress, that's life. The one thing that's constant in life is change. However, human beings don't like change.
We don't, but, you know, we do have to change, you know. And actually, I've always embraced change, you know. I mean, we were talking earlier about me being, you know, certainly this first journalist, motoring journalist, that is. And when I started out, we were still doing newspapers paste up, you know. You would paste up, you do the blogs. You remember the era of the hot metal?
And
now we've come to an era where, you know, it's instant, it's social media, it's radio. I mean, you're recording me off a mic here. It's incredible. Now, if we don't embrace these changes, if we don't move with them, I was just doing a podcast with, there's a friend of mine in the States and in Amsterdam. They like to do this podcast. It's called Two Old Farts Making Noises, basically, is what it's called. And I love going on there because I get to talk about stuff that's not motoring, because the vast majority of my content is motoring. And we were talking about AI and how people are really worried about it. But the consensus seemed to be is like, well, it's another tool.
It is.
The genie's out of the box,
especially,
and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we now have to do is understand how best to use it for our benefit. So I think with everything, there is always progress, and progress is not a bad thing. And like I said, when I grew up in London, and you're a taxi driver, you know London. When I looked at central London and ULEZ happened, I was like, okay, well, you know, that's progress. We do need cleaner air in London. You know, we do need to have a healthier lifestyle for our families and our children. So you have to adapt to these things as they come along. But every now and then, something comes along where you look at it and you go, hang on, that's not justified. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you may see I'm wearing a Star Trek Delta badge, and I'm a huge Star Trek fan. So in the words of Spock, when you look at something and you go, that's not logical, at that point you have to go, whoa, wait a minute. And when this current ULEZ expansion happened, and we can hear the protesters in the background.
Exactly.
What I did is I looked at the original impact assessment report, the independent report.
Yes.
And that's the first thing I did, and I went through it, and that's actually what got me into this, because as I went through this, if you looked at the impact assessment report, in terms of benefit, it was negligible. You know, they have columns in there, and it was negligible, and then at the end of it, I started looking at the socio-economical impact on communities in those areas, and at that point, it wasn't just negligible, it was negative. So at that point, you thought, whoa, hang on a minute, this is a policy that's actually, by their own account, by their own report, is going to be harmful to people.
By their own admission.
So at that point, you have to go, whoa, wait a minute.
Yes.
You know? So, as you referred to, progress, nothing against progress. I find, you know, like I said, it was my birthday and I'm well past my mid 50s, but I've always been somebody that wants to adopt new stuff, that always wants to move to the next big thing. And I'm so, I've nothing against progress.
But are you a change for the sake of change person? Because some people.
Yeah, no, as I've just said.
If it's not broke, why fix it? That's kind of where I come from. But yourself?
I drove a classic here, so.
Oh, excellent.
And I still drive a classic because I love driving. I love the feel of a classic car.
Sure.
The analog feel of the manual and the transmission and the gearbox and the steering. I love it. So, it's not about change for the sake of change. But so if you look back at the AI thing, that's change that's happened. So we have to adapt to that. You know, that's something like I was saying, it's a genie out of the box.
Yes.
We have to. It's a Pandora. We have to understand.
Oh, probably radio has.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
So, but when you look at change for the sake of change, like, for example, the ULEZ expansion, at that point, when you look at the logic of it, when you analyze it, and you go, well, it doesn't make any sense. it's not going to benefit us and it's something that we can control, then at that point you go, well, no, let's stop, let's pull back, let's have a discussion about this. You know, and I'm all for having the discussion. You know, if somebody can prove to me beyond doubt that this has improved things, then sure.
Yeah, you're an open-minded person.
I think we have to be, and I think we're both in media, and I think it's incumbent upon us to be that, right? Yes. We have to, because we have to bring all sides of the equation to this. I mean, like, some people look at my content, or some people look at the fact that I cover ULEZ a lot, and they think that I'm anti-EV. And I'm not anti-EV. I've reviewed many EVs. I've reviewed tons of them, and they're great cars. They're incredible. But there's issues around them that need to be looked at. There's geopolitical issues and stuff. There's issues about the resources. There's issues about whether they work for everybody or not. As a motoring journalist, for me, it's always been about the right car for the right person in the right situation. For some people, that will be the EV. But for a lot of people, it won't. So you have to look at that. So again, change for the sake of change in the context of EVs. If you're enforcing everybody to move to an EV, that's change for the sake of change. If, however, people are transitioning to an EV because it's better for them, that's change for the sake of it's better for everybody.
Yes.
Which I think is what we should do.
And whilst we're still on this motoring track, hydrogen.
Well, hydrogen is something that's viable, it's feasible. The trouble is it's very expensive and the infrastructure is very difficult to basically implement. Having said that, there are some big companies, we're talking about Toyota, we're talking about Honda, that have long been champions of hydrogen. Toyota is definitely not giving up on this, because not only do they have hydrogen fuel cell technology, which are basically EVs but are driven by hydrogen, but they have also been developing the internal combustion engine to run on hydrogen fuel. In fact, Toyota raced in the 24-hour race with the GR Yaris recently, a few months back, that was run only on hydrogen, but it was an internal combustion engine vehicle. So they have proven that the technology works. The problem with hydrogen is just the transport, the infrastructure, the delivery of it. So it's with all of these things, it's scalable. Logistics. You know, until we can scale it to an extent that it works, it's not actually feasible. But having said that, it's being looked at, for example, in the commercial sector, for fleet, for lorries, for things like, because, for example, for fleet, for lorries, for commercial, for long distance vehicles, the EV is not the answer.
No.
Because it can't manage loads, you know? So therefore you can then look at hydrogen. Yes. And if hydrogen is delivered at one depot where a bunch of fleet vehicles are charged with it, that could work. Mm. So again, I am of the opinion that we need to look at multiple solutions. The future of road transport is not one idea. It's several ideas. This is my belief.
And referring back to the Middle East, and of course, big providers of oil.
Yes.
What must they be thinking now, and how will they react, do you think, in your opinion, going into the future with this anti-oil, anti-carbon,
They're already reacting. Cool. To be honest, some of the biggest progress I've seen in the world of EVs has actually been in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia and the UAE are actually doing a lot of work in that sector, even though EVs are actually really difficult in that environment, because the environment's too hot for them. So you get the problem of batteries overheating, and also when you're driving an EV, you have to run the AC, you have to run the cooling equipment, which of course then puts a drain on the battery. But Saudi Arabia, for example, is a key stakeholder in a company called Lucid, which is one of the key novelty car manufacturers, or small, I should say, small boutique car manufacturers in America that's just concentrating only on EVs. So actually, they're already starting this transition over to that. The reality is that oil is not just about cars. I read a stat somewhere, I think it was like 9,000 everyday products use oil.
Plastics, for example. So to me, this just stop oil. To me, they're saying just stop plastics. Well, guess what? That means you've got to get rid of anything that's made of plastic.
That means you have to take off all your clothes right now.
Exactly. Fibers. Quite correct. Yes.
So this is the thing. It's like, I think, as I said, I think the future should be multifaceted, and I think we need to look at all of the different areas. And even with oil, we have a situation now where we're looking at e-fuels, biofuels. We're looking at carbon extraction. So we have companies that are extracting carbon out of the air. One of the things they're looking at improving the environment is extracting carbon but burying it in the ground. And I said, well, why are you burying it in the ground? Because there are companies now that are able to turn it back into fuel. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is real. I'm not making this up. There's a company here called Coryton, which basically, so I work closely with the British Motor Show that happens at Farnborough.
Yeah.
All their vehicles are run on Coryton fuel, which is essentially biofuel.
Yeah.
So you think, well, why not adapt to change if change works for you?
Correct.
You know, if it works for you, it's fine.
Yes.
But if it's being enforced upon you in such a way that doesn't, is not conducive to either your work or to your lifestyle, then why should that happen?
Yeah. And later on, I hope to be getting an interview with a lady called Kate, lives locally, and she's now had to give up her car.
Yes, and I heard of so many. This is one of the things that got me constantly going back to the protests and constantly talking and interviewing to people, because I felt at one point that I was one of the few people that was trying to get their voices out there. And when I started hearing these real hardship stories, and certainly with the elderly, I've heard this story
yes,
so many times.
Yes, I've been driving nearly 50 years.
Yeah, but I heard this story so many times where they own what they thought would be their last car. You know, that's what they thought. They've spent their money, that's their last car, they won't need to buy another car. And now all of a sudden they find themselves in a situation where they're like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And some of them, they can't afford to upgrade. They can't afford to move to a new car. There's a situation in the car market where cars are absurdly expensive at the moment, you know? So at that point, you're saying that you are basically taking away somebody's independence.
Indeed.
And as we know, with elder people, if you do that, what happens? Mentally, they start to deteriorate. Physically, they start to deteriorate. And essentially, you're signing the death certificate.
Yes, indeed. Yes, you're right, long term. You're quite correct. Well,
Shazad, yes.
Shazad, thank you ever so much.
Thanks so much, Mick.
Brown car guy, which he wears loud and proud.
Absolutely.
Same as I wear Mick the Brit,
absolutely.
Loud and proud.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All
thanks
right,
so
bless
much.
You.
Great talking to you.
And you, sir. Thank you so much.
Here is the weather for the Bromley area for this evening and tonight. Good evening. This evening and tonight remaining overcast and dry with a few clear patches. The overnight low will be 6 degrees. Sunrise tomorrow, Wednesday, the 22nd of November, will be at 7:29 a.m. and will be another overcast, dry day. The daytime high will be 9 degrees.
Thank you very much to Shazad, Brown Car Guy. Plenty to think about there. Oh, here's Aretha.
And I'm very pleased to be on Bromley Radio.
And if you're having soul music from the Queen of Soul, then why not Arthur Connolly?
Do you like good music? That sweet soul music. Just long in this sweet. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are here on the floor, y'all. I'm going to a go. Dancing with music. Oh, yeah. Don't leave the ball, y'all. Say good love to hurting thing, y'all.
Nigel Farage.
And I'm very pleased to be on Bromley Radio.
Arthur Conley, Sweet Soul Music. And yes, we're going very big on Nigel Farage because he is in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Oh my God. Monday evening, if you check that episode out, he ate all sorts of things as part of a pizza. But he did it very stoically and encouraging the partner, his partner in this, who he seems to be partnered with. But he gave her a lot of encouragement and help. And now, social media. They're now saying that the ratings for I'm a Celeb are down because Nigel's in it. Really? I don't think so. Anyway, Christmas is... Yeah, I know, I said the C word then. Sorry, we do try to avoid these things until the 1st of December. However, this Saturday in Hayes, it's the Christmas light switch on. So from 3 p.m. onwards, come down to Hayes, their station approach, and there from the new inn, the lights will be switched on and there'll be stalls there. There'll be carol singing. Yes. Come on down, one and all, to Hayes there at station approach. And even if you're outside of Hayes, you can jump on a train because, well, providing they're running, of course. I think they will be, though. You can get to Hayes Station there via train, of course, and there's the new inn straight across the road. Or, of course, a bus, which several go through station approach there at Hayes.
I'm Nigel Farage.
And I'm very pleased to be on Bromley Radio.
Aztec Camera now. Oblivious. Aztec Camera and Oblivious. Nick Smith with Bromley Today for Tuesday, the 21st of November. So, as we said before, if you have something to let us know about, please get in touch with us here at Bromley Radio. That's bromleyradio@gmail.com. And seeing as I already mentioned the C word earlier, yeah, we've already got our ears around a Christmas song coming up, which we will be playing from the 1st of December. So I suppose here's a comfort warning for you. No Christmas songs until the 1st of December. Well done to Bromley for switching their Christmas lights on Sunday, and last night we played out the highlights of that, including a word with Rob Beckett, yes, who we'd like to hear on here at Bromley Radio. You know, he's been on radio too, so, and he lives locally, so surely he should come on to his local radio station, Bromley Radio. And as we mentioned before, the Christmas light switch on in Hayes. This will be Saturday, the 25th of November. Now, why do I say it's good that both Bromley lights and Hayes lights are switched on then? Because it is after Armistice Day. I don't think any Christmas light should be switched on before then. I'm just saying, because we should focus our minds towards that. And then after that, yes, of course, after the memorialisation there of those heroes that went before us to give us the freedom to enjoy Christmas in our own way, with whoever, when, wherever, and all the rest of it. Freedom. Here's the latest weather for Bromley.
Here is the weather for the Bromley area for this evening and tonight. Good evening. This evening and tonight remaining overcast and dry with a few clear patches. The overnight low will be 6 degrees. Sunrise tomorrow, Wednesday, the 22nd of November, will be at 7:29 a.m. and will be another overcast, dry day. The daytime high will be 9 degrees.
Rock me slowly, get easy. Don't you know that I have never been loved like this before?
Andy Kim and Rock Me Gently on Bromley Today. Well, did you work it out? And this is for the benefit of you, the podcaster, because you're about to leave us now. But did you work it out? What connected all the songs that we've played today? They all began with an A. And if you're listening to this as a podcast,
good night and good luck to you all.